we want to have a special prayer tonight before we leave. Open your Bible to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, and find your place there, and then go to John chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 2, and then we'll go to John chapter number 19. And this is very familiar. The preacher just went over these verses, but the Lord has led me to the same verses in a little different direction. In Luke chapter number 2, you will remember in verse 19 that all that Mary heard, the Bible said she kept these things and pondered them in her heart. But look at verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And notice how many times the Holy Ghost is mentioned. This message that Mary is about to receive from Simeon, she's receiving it from a man that's full of the Holy Ghost. Notice, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now letteth thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He gave her a few more things to ponder, didn't he? My Father, as I bow in your presence, Lord, I ask you to hide me behind the cross, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me, Lord. I submit all that I am or ever hope to be to the power of the cross. I pray, my Father, that you would speak through me, give me the words that you gave me yesterday. And I pray you give me liberty to speak them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now that we've read that, which was very familiar, I'm only going to read one verse in John chapter number 19. In John chapter number 19, look at verse number 25, and we'll share the thought that the Lord's laid on our heart for tonight. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Simeon's message to Mary had some good news, and it had some bad news. He said, I've seen God's salvation. This child that Mary had birthed 8 days before brings him to the temple, to Simeon, and Simeon looks at the child and says, now I have seen God's salvation. And he says this, he'll be a light to lighten the Gentiles. Well, that must have been something for Mary to ponder on, being a Jew. And the Gentiles are mentioned. This child is sent to be a light unto the Gentiles. And he said, a glory to his people. That's good news. That's great news. But he didn't stop there. He said, this child is set for the rise and fall. Matching Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 14. He would become a stumbling block to the nation of Israel. He told her that he will be a sign that will be evil spoken of. That's not good news. And then he said this. He said, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. My, what could this possibly mean? So Mary leaves Simeon with good news, news that she did not understand, but also bad news. And you'll find in the life of Mary, she was acquainted with grief. If you'll remember, the Bible said she was troubled at the salutation of Gabriel. When Gabriel said, "You're going to have a child." And Mary, the Bible said she was troubled at the saying. What manner of salutation is this? And she said, "How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" And I'm sure in the back of Mary's mind, she's thinking, well, what will the people say? How will they treat me? I'm a young virgin daughter of Israel, and I know not a man, and yet I'm going to have a child. Will I be cast aside? Will they put me out of the village? Will they look upon me as an unwed mother? Imagine her sorrow when they get to Bethlehem and there's no room for her child to be born. Imagine what kind of sorrow that Mary, the mother, would have had. Not only was there no room, but they led them to a stable, a very unsterile location. And her son is born like the poorest of the poor and laid in a manger that animals feed out of. Mary acquainted with grief? Absolutely. Acquainted with sorrow? Absolutely. Imagine how Mary felt when Herod's hatred was so strong against her baby that he had all of the children 2 years and under murdered. How did that mother's heart feel? How could someone hate her child enough to murder all of the children 2 years and under trying to get to him? Imagine her sorrow. If Jesus was a man of sorrows, and he was. Isaiah 53:3, he was a man of sorrows. If he was, and he was, then surely Mary was the mother of sorrows. Could it be that the greatest privilege of bringing the Lord, the Son of God, into this world, could it be that with that greatest privilege came the greatest sorrow? My goodness. And then, you know, people don't talk about this much. Mary never wanted to be worshipped. We don't worship Mary tonight. But we look at Mary for who she was. And when you look at her, you've got to look at her faith. You've got to look at that. You've got to realize all of the things that she was told about her child that never came to be in her lifetime. It was said of her child that he shall be great. She never saw that in her lifetime. It was said of her child that he would be called the Son of the Highest. That's what your Bible said. But instead, she heard him calling Beelzebub the Prince of Devils. How did she hold on to her faith? Because most of the things that was told her about her son never came to pass in her lifetime. It was also told to Mary that he'll sit upon the throne of his father David and he'll rule the house of Jacob. He never sat upon the throne. As a matter of fact, the Bible said he had nowhere to even lay his head. So you tell me that Mary wasn't a mother of faith, and I'll disagree with you. She had to have great faith. He never sat upon the throne. He never received any of that in Mary's lifetime. What she did see instead was hatred, rejection, called the Prince of Devils. She never saw a throne, but she saw a cross. Now, when we get to John chapter number 19, you're going to find the fulfillment of Simeon's prophecy. Remember what he said to Mary? Remember what he said? You mothers tonight, you think about this, receiving this kind of message from Simeon. He said to Mary, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." my, how and where was that fulfilled? John is the only one of the gospel writers that mentions Mary at the cross. The others mention Mary. John's the only one. And why should it not be John? John was the only disciple at the cross. Mark 14:50 said they all forsook him and fled. John came back. John's the only disciple that's at the cross. So is it not fitting that John is the only one that mentions that Mary is at the cross? And while she's at the cross, a sword pierces through her own soul. She was the first to kiss the brow that's now covered with thorns. What would that do to a mother? She was the first one that those little hands reached for that's now nailed to a cross beam. You tell me that a sword didn't pierce through her own soul? I'll tell you it did. She's in a position now, and your mamas know, it doesn't matter how old your children get. It doesn't matter. That love never wanes, but instead it grows. Amen. It doesn't just stop the older they get. And so Mary is at the cross, and she's watching this baby boy that she brought into the world that had all of these promises associated with his name. Supposed to reign on the throne of his father David. Supposed to reign over Israel. A light to lighten the Gentiles. But she's watching that light be put out. How did she hold on to that kind of faith? Do you not think a sword pierced her own soul? If you've ever been in a ER after a tragic accident, they have a young man or a young lady in there fighting for their life, and then someone says, the mother's here. Everything changes. It all changes. People try to hold it together, but when mama walks in and sees her baby, then that's when a sword pierces her own soul also. So Mary is having her soul pierced. Now, you know, the Lord pointed this out to me. Have you ever been studying your Bible and the Lord will drop you those little nuggets in there? You know, I've so many times I'll read the same thing over and over and over, never seen it before, and then all of a sudden, wham, man, there it is. It's right in your face. And most of the time when the Lord shows me something like that, it comes down to one word. And here it is. You know what John said? He said, and there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Did you get that? There stood. It does not record any hysterical outburst. No plea for mercy. She's not there in a crumpled heap, weeping and squalling. The Bible said there stood by the cross. Man, what a statement. What a statement. There Mary stands. You know why? You know why she stood? In her heart, she still believed everything that was told to her. She still believed that the man on that cross was the King of the Jews. She still believed in her heart that one day he would reign over his people. She still believed that somehow he would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. Don't you know that his tormentors would have loved to have seen the mother collapse? He would have completed the picture. I mean, here's disciples that followed him for 3.5 years. If he had been the real deal, wouldn't they be around the cross? But instead, they all forsook him and fled for their own life. Now, all they need to complete the picture is the mother of the crucified one to collapse, to go on with his historical outburst and cry and beg for mercy for her son. They're not going to get that from Mary. Oh, no. Mary stands, and she salutes the cross. She salutes the King of the Jews, because in her heart, she knew. Do you realize tonight that the loudest witness at Calvary was a standing mother? Let that settle in. The loudest witness on Mount Calvary that day was a standing mother. Amen. Amen. If there was ever a time that we need mothers and fathers to stand near the cross on behalf of their children, it's now. The world wants your kids. The world wants your grandkids. And this world and our society has put our kids in a pressure cooker and then asked them to make decisions. The best thing that you can do as a mother, the best thing you can do as a father, is to stand by that cross on behalf of your kids. It's the best thing you can do. And on behalf of those at this church that works with your kids, do you pray for them? Do you pray for the ones up there in the other building that's working with your kids? We need to. The loudest witness. I've never seen that before. He didn't say they're laid Mary at the foot of the cross. It said there stood. Hallelujah. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 6:13. And having done all, stand. Preacher, my kids are driving me crazy. I'm about to lose my mind. I don't know anything else to do. Well, having done all, stand. That's what you do. When you don't know anything else to do, you stand by the cross on behalf of your kids. I pastored this dear sweet lady, loved her with all of my heart. She was a special kind of mother. And she came to me, her son, daughter, for a long time was very faithful in the house of God. As a matter of fact, her daughter was the piano player. She stayed faithful to the house of God. But her son didn't. He didn't. He was a young man that if you was around him, oh, he could win you over, buddy. I'm telling you. Yeah, he could win you over. But I knew what he was involved in. I still loved him. But he was an extremely nice, respectable young man. But he got off into sin. Quit coming to church. Moved in with a friend. And then the alcohol and the drugs started to roll. He crushed his mother's heart. She came to me one Sunday, and she showed me, not in a smart aleck way, I was her pastor, but she reminded me of Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. She said, you know, from the very time he was a baby, I stood by the cross, and I pleaded the blood upon my kids. He was raised right, preacher. You know he was raised right. Explain that verse to me. And I said, well, the verse simply means this. You train them up in the way they should go, meaning in the fear and admonition of the Lord Jesus. He does not say they won't walk away from the church. Not what it says. He does not say that they won't fall off into deep sin. Don't say that. What it does say is simply this. You train them up the way they should be, and when they're old, they'll not depart, meaning that they will always have that in their heart, the way they were brought up and the way they were trained, and they'll never be able to get away from that. It will be with them till the day they die. I've heard them cry out in the ER. Listen, not all prodigals come back home standing up. I preached many, and I'm sure Roger has too, many funerals of prodigals that came back, but they came back in a box. She would not turn him loose. She called me. She said, I fast and pray for him all the time. And I did. I prayed for him. She said, I'm not going to give up on him. Me and his dad instilled the right thing in him. He knows better than this. He's going to kill somebody if he doesn't kill himself. He can't hold down a job. All he wants to do is drink and smoke dope. Does that sound familiar? That's all he wanted to do. Bringing a reproach upon this family. years went by. I know at least eight, because I'd already left that church, and I was pastoring a church in Harriman, Tennessee. And I got a call. You listen to me, Mom? You keep standing by the cross. You keep standing by the cross on behalf of your kids. And when you've done all you can do to stand, at least 8 years had gone by. I was no longer her pastor. We stayed in contact because we became close friends. I left the church on good terms. Nobody run me off. But I was pastoring down in Harriman, and I got this phone call. And this young man said, "Hello, preacher." I recognized the voice immediately. Called him by his first name. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Can I come by and talk to you?" I said, "Sure." He said, "They told me you're in Harriman, but you're still living in Union County." And I said, "For the time being, you still where you were before?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Can I come by and talk to you?" I said, "Sure you can." "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" This young man rung my doorbell, opened the door, and it was like looking into the face of somebody else. It's like looking at someone that I didn't know. He had a smile on his face the devil couldn't wipe clean. And he said, "I got right with the Lord, preacher." He said, "Because my mom wouldn't give up. She wouldn't give up. And I wanted you to know that my heart's clean. I'm right with the Lord. And I have been for a while. And I want you to pray with me this afternoon. I feel like the Lord is calling me to do something." Are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me? I've talked to so many mommies and daddies that said, "I give up. I'm done. I'm through. I've done all I can do." Never give up. Mary didn't. She believed what was said of her son. She believed it enough to stand. Never give up, Mom, Dad. You keep standing. You keep standing by that cross on behalf of your kids. Man, he had much more. We cried and squalled and hugged each other, and I said, called him by his name, almost said it then. I said, "What do you think it is the Lord wants you to do?" And he said, "Well, I'm not sure, but I've got a little bit of an idea." And he just smiled at me. What would that have meant to you, Roger? Yeah, it wasn't long after that he announced his call. But it took a mother that was determined to stand by the cross on behalf of her son. So don't give up. Don't give up. You keep standing. Just keep standing. Because as long as there's a Savior, there's hope. There's hope. As long as there's a Savior, there's hope. Now, that's what the Lord laid on my heart. And anybody in here, had that ever jumped out to you before when you read that? Where John said, "And there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." It's just like that thing jumped out and got a hold of me and said, "Read it again. Read it again. There stood." She stood in honor of the King, believing everything that was said about him. We're going to take a prayer request tonight. And then we've been dismissing with an altar prayer for our pastor. God to touch him. I want to do something different tonight. We're still going to leave here praying for him. But after we take prayer requests, when we get ready to pray, you may think I've lost my mind. Maybe I have, but I'm happy. That's all that matters. I want those that will to come up here, and let's just line up across the front, and let's stand and pray for our pastor. Let's stand and grip that cross with one arm and pray for our pastor. Amen. Anybody on this right side have a prayer request tonight? Yes.